Neville. Yeah. He's fantastic. I almost love Aaron Neville as much as I love Liz Ellis, who's Australia's second greatest ever netballer after you, Sherelle. We know that. And she's now heading up an independent review of the game itself. Who else would you rather have online for that? Liz, good morning.
Oh, look, I nearly hung up twice then.
What was the first time?
Well, the first time is you trying to do Aaron Neville, and the second time you're telling me that, okay, I have to agree, Sherelle's probably Australia's best netballer. I'm happy to play second fiddle to Shirazzle Dazzle.
Shirazzle Dazzle. Now, it's no disgrace to be second to the great Sherelle McMahon, Liz. You're pretty close. It's a pretty close battle.
Oh, thanks.
Now, tell me, what's this new role you've got with Netball Australia with this independent review? What's the concept and what are you trying to get out of this review?
Essentially, it's a review into the state of the game. And the idea is that with the COVID crisis happening and lots of sports are hemorrhaging and are hurting, not only at the elite level, and we've heard a lot about the professional leagues, but a lot of state organisations from many sports really rely on the income from people registering to play sports. And all over the country, we're seeing local competitions be cancelled or postponed. That is hurting state bodies. The professional end is hurting. So it's a good time to actually take stock of the game and figure out how we can do it better. So we're going to look at everything, whether netball is delivering the best product to its customers and its consumers. Now, I suspect that it is. I think netball's probably, I'm going to beat our drum. I think netball delivers the best competitions at local level in the world, without any exception. You know, you can turn to a netball court on a Saturday morning and in about an 8-hour period, 5,000 people are put through their paces on the netball court, umpires turn up, games start on time, everyone has scoreboards. So I think that core product is really good, but who are we missing? Are we missing boys' competitions? Are we missing men's competitions? Do we need to be more flexible in how we deliver it? And we're looking at that all the way through to the elite end. Who is best primed to run the game at that professional level? So it's a real whole of sport review.
I couldn't agree more with netball being the most efficient sport on the planet. My daughter plays, and she's 16, Liz, and at the Ashburton Centre there, and there's about 12 courts or whatever, and from 8 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock at night, there are games every minute of that day, and it's military precision. It's remarkable the number of people that are obviously involved in any day in any netball centre around the world, around the country, but the efficiency of it, like, there's no messing around. It is regimented to within an inch of its life.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and I sat next to Angus Houston, who was the head of the Defence Force at a lunch a few years ago, and he said, looked at me with a straight face and said, netball women could run the army, and they probably should run the army. And it's so true. As Sherelle will agree, we, like, the women who run netball, you're scared of them from a very young age. You do exactly as you're told. You know, your netball competitions, one of my friends, her little girl's netball competition starts on a Saturday at 11:43 a.m. Right? So we laugh and go, oh, my God. But it is also the sport that develops female leaders. You know, I've had a look at a lot of different sports and worked within a lot of different sports. And the thing that really strikes me about my sport is that I always assumed there was a place for women leadership. And then you look at other sports and you see that women are really fighting to get into the leadership positions, whether coaching, head of sport, admin, anything like that. But netball actually provides that all over the country at a grassroots level. So, you know, I think about the women who were the leaders in my community when I was a kid. And they weren't leaders by being the mayor or anything like that, but they ran the netball community and they got what they wanted. You don't say no to netball women, and I reckon there's a lot of people on local councils around Australia who would agree with that. But that actually then translates into business and success later in life, because women learn through our sport very early how to step up and be leaders.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true, Lizzie. And I mean, I'm really excited about this review that you're doing. I think that congratulations, and it's great that you're heading it up. One question possibly some people are asking is, are you going to listen when you do that canvassing and consultation? I do say that tongue in cheek slightly, Lizzie, because I mean, one of the big news stories in netball more recently has been the introduction of the 2-point shot for this season. That hopefully we get off the ground. And some would say that the consultation there was lacking in some ways. So is there part of that process that comes into looking at this as well, how we engage with the different stakeholders?
Yeah, look, and I think that was interesting, that 2-point shot. I'm I look at it from a different point of view to you, and I think if I was a player or a coach, I'd be annoyed about the lack of consultation. But then when I look at that from the broadcast point of view, I'm actually really excited about what it will bring. I think you're right, though. I think the decision was probably made in a way that upset a lot of people, not just players and elite coaches, but, you know, our fans. So, you know, I think it's probably one of the things that we'll listen to about how we go about consulting with people and how that works. We don't have time to go fully into that decision and look at the granular sort of stuff, but it's a fair question. And I think the problem, the thing that I thought when they asked me to do this review was, oh, my God, we've had so many reviews in the last 5 years. So we don't want to reinvent the wheel in terms of those reviews. We want to look at those reviews and say, OK, what was recommended and what didn't get actioned? What didn't the sport do? So we've got to look at that. And we actually have to take into account what people want. And I think, like all sports, there's an issue around personalities and clashes of personalities, and that, you know, netball is not on its pat Malone there, and sport isn't immune to that. But we've got to look at how we make sure that that clash of personalities actually works for the sport, and that will involve listening. And, you know, Shaz, you might agree with this. I think when I started off as a leader in our sport, I was a leader because I was the loudest and the bossiest. And it was always about my way or the highway. But by the time I finished, I actually became the leader who listened to my teammates, and I'm hoping that I can take those skills and those attributes into this review and just reassure people that my leadership style is inclusive. And but sometimes you have to make the hard calls that aren't popular. So while we will listen, it doesn't mean that we're going to agree with everything that we get told or that we think it's all
well. And that's one of the challenges, isn't it? You can't agree with everyone because there are so many varying opinions in the game. And one of the things that, as you say, all sports and all levels of sport are grappling with at the moment is the effects of this COVID-19. And in netball, the situation is changing, as I mentioned earlier to the boys, hourly, if not even more frequently than that. You want to deliver some outcomes to this by the end of the year, I think, is the timeline. Is that's going to be tough, isn't it, given things are continuing to change even as you go through the process?
Yeah, and the real challenge for us will be to not get caught up in that day-to-day rollercoaster ride of the COVID situation. You know, it's fascinating, isn't it? You guys are in lockdown in Victoria. I'm sitting in a caravan park in Queensland on holiday. So, all around the country, I hate to rub it in. But, you know,
yeah, thanks,
Sorrell was the best netballer, so I've got to get my own back. So, you know, all around the country, things are so vastly different. So I think we really have to try and avoid getting caught up in that day-to-day rollercoaster ride of COVID, and we have to take a bit of a more, a higher level view and see the strategy and see what the sport is delivering, who it's delivering to, and which organisations within the sport and entities within the sport are the best place to do that. So I think we use the COVID situation as a jumping off point, but we don't get caught up in it from what it does to the sport day to day. I think there's professional people who are very, very good at dealing with that.
Well, it's a timely review, I reckon, considering the way that the world is changing, particularly the domestic and local sporting landscape, Lizzie. And we think you are the absolute right person to be leading the charge there for Netball Australia. We thank you for your time. Enjoy the caravan. Don't rub it in again, but it's nice to chat as always.
Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I hope you guys are going okay in lockdown. It's an awful situation. So the rest of the country is thinking of you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. We know you don't mean it, but we appreciate it.
No, she's not sorry. She's not sorry.
Thank you, Liz. Liz Ellis, Australia's second greatest ever netballer.